Bruno Hyde grew up in a tiny village in Austria. After learning how to code, building a few startups, crisscrossing the globe, and finally settling in New York, Bruno's now the founder of a new startup that wants to revolutionize co-living. It's called Roam, that's R-O-A-M. By paying one weekly fee, travelers and so-called digital nomads can live and work in Roam's properties around the world, from Miami to Bali to Madrid. But how do you do it? This is Eureka on Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Each week we bring you one entrepreneur's story, the early inspirations, the struggles, and the path to success. This week, Bruno tells his story.
So I grew up, we had a small bed and breakfast, we had a restaurant and a farm, and for some reason I wanted to do hospitality when I was 13 or 14, and I never figured quite out why. I think it was more getting approval from my parents, so hey, I'm doing this, then I can do the restaurant later. But actually the break came when I was 17 or 18, I'm 39 now, so like many my generation, you grew up with a Nintendo and other things, and I came across a magazine that showed you how to do HTML. So that was in the pre-internet days, the very early 92, 93, when HTML was just defined and you could type it off the magazine, and it was actually quite fun. And that's when I stumbled through technology into design. I'm even a high school dropout, so when I was 17 and a half, it was a pretty bad school didactically, and so it was this, in protest to my parents, I go out there, find my own job and so on. And it overlapped pretty much with the internet coming up. So that was then in 95, 96. So that was one of the first kind of design agencies in the Alps. So that's when I struck out as a freelancer. So it always came natural. There was never a thoughtful process weighing the different options. It's just stumbling from one entrepreneurial opportunity into the next. I think the pivotal moment was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when a friend mentioned that he's been to Bali and that there is this small town in Bali called Ubud, which I haven't heard about at that time. And he said, there are two co-working spaces and there are all those beautiful cafes and there's Wi-Fi now. And I just lived and worked from there for 2 or 3 months. And I was like, I could do this as well. Let's have a look. And that's when those different things made sense in, can we put it together? Can we have this more communal living situation? Can we have it location independently in really interesting places? And can we have it more transiently? So there's this good old quote that it takes an awful lot of time to become an overnight success. So it wasn't an eureka moment in a traditional sense. It was definitely something that was bubbling over many, many years, all the way back to my childhood. The main research phase was pretty much self-funded. Sitting in Bali, it's very cheap. So that's where we did the research. So it's a pretty good place because of the rich hospitality tradition to see, okay, what are the real estate economics behind it? What's the service level you might need for a professionally run place that appeals to a much broader demographic than traditional co-living? So that was mostly done in Bali. And then we had a couple of early believers. One of the first one was Eric, who's one of the co-founders of SoundCloud. And obviously it's a good match for his lifestyle at the moment because he also has to go from city to city, but it also appealed to him because he was a musician in his early days. So he knows the feeling of showing up in a completely different city because you have a gig there. So with a couple of angels, it's late summer of 2015, and then some proper Silicon Valley funding round at the end of 2015, early 2016. So we, from the beginning, had this thesis of it needs to be a global housing network. So the way we approached it initially was, let's find one location in each continental group. So one in Americas, one in Europe, Africa, and one in Asia. And that's what we set out to find. We thought we'd end up in Mexico City, but then for some weird reason ended up in Miami. Madrid was our first European location, and Ubud in Bali was our first Asian location. Definitely, we overestimated demand. So we thought about if we give people really great new housing opportunities all around the world, they will show up in droves. And you had the initial media spike, and then, damn, nobody's coming. And that was in the early days definitely one of the challenges. So that was the moment when it then faced inwards instead of outwards. And what are we doing wrong? Maybe this person is to blame or that person is to blame. So turning that sentiment within the company and then actually building the marketing. Because it is a pretty high value, high friction product. So both financially, it's Rome subscription is relatively expensive. So it's 1800 and upwards. Here in London, it's our first location is in Chelsea, so it's still competitive, but it's still 3,200 a month. And also psychologically, do I want to do this? The idea is very aspirational, living any way you want, but actually doing it is a completely different ballgame. And it's not a proven mechanism. If you're Airbnb, you can rely that people at least say, yeah, I need a place in London for 5 days, and I just go to a different booking platform. That's more personal, more sympathetic, and so on. But we had to basically build the whole distribution and conversion process from scratch. The highest praise for people is they showed up and they actually did the work. And that's not only others, that's also yourself. It's really, really hard, and that's why the team is so inspirational, to do it weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's that's what really matters. And that's when you look at Uber, which was a company that was built on the early teams, you had someone that came straight out of rehab, you had somebody who was living in their car, and that's actually what you need in the early days. So it's not so much even expertise or industry insight. So you couldn't build Uber with people from the Taxi and Limousine Commission. It is really this showing up and really wanting to do this and finding creative ways of overcoming this over time and over time again.
Bruno Hyde there on how he got inspired to build the global co-living startup, Rome. Eureka will be back on Friday. But before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. The CEO of Artfinder explains how he built one of the world's largest online art markets. Eureka was edited by Toby Hammond. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.